Hey everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're going deep, really deep into the world of motivation and productivity, and I'm so excited to have you all along for the ride. We've got some incredible research lined up, and believe me, this is going to be more than just your average productivity pep talk. This is about unlocking those hidden superpowers we all have within us.
Absolutely. We're going to unpack the science, the strategies, the real deal. We'll figure out what truly drives us, how to tackle those procrastination demons head on, and create an environment that practically sets you up for success. It's like building your own personal productivity machine.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Our first source is all about the core of it all, motivation, and it talks about two types. Intrinsic, that fire that comes from within, and extrinsic, the motivation we get from external rewards or, you know, maybe a looming deadline. I'm curious, have you ever thought about which one works better for you?
That's actually a really important question because it helps you unlock the right approach. Someone driven by intrinsic motivation, they might find that connecting tasks to their personal values is like a turbo boost. But if you're more fueled by extrinsic rewards, maybe you need a system of rewards or recognition to really get going. It's about knowing yourself.
That makes so much sense. Now, this really caught my eye, the idea that visualizing success can actually increase motivation. Is that just wishful thinking, or is there something more to it?
It's not just wishful thinking at all. There's actual neuroscience behind it. Visualizing success lights up the same neural pathways as actually doing the action. It's like a mental rehearsal, priming your brain for success and boosting your confidence.
Wow, that's fascinating. It's like giving your brain a little taste of the reward beforehand. Okay, speaking of taking action, our source offers a really cool strategy for those moments when procrastination just takes over: the 5-minute rule.
Yes, the 5-minute rule. It's brilliant for overcoming that initial resistance. Just commit to 5 minutes, that's all. You lower the barrier to entry, and often, once you get started, you just keep going. The momentum takes over.
It's like the saying, well begun is half done, right? Sometimes the hardest part is simply starting.
Exactly.
But
now let's talk about procrastination itself. Our source really digs into the psychology of it, and it starts by reframing what procrastination actually is.
This is where it gets really interesting. The source argues that procrastination isn't just laziness. It's often a symptom of something deeper. Fear of failure, maybe feeling overwhelmed, or even just not knowing where to start.
Exactly. It's about understanding the root cause instead of just treating the symptom. This source introduces the 2-minute rule. If a task takes less than 2 minutes, do it now. Prevents those little things from piling up into a giant mountain of overwhelm.
I love that. It's like stopping a tiny snowball from turning into an avalanche. And speaking of overwhelm, the source emphasizes something we often forget in our quest for productivity, self-compassion. So important. How we talk to ourselves when we face setbacks is crucial. Beating ourselves up is a recipe for disaster. Self-compassion, though, it allows us to acknowledge those struggles, learn from them, and come back stronger.
It's about being kind to ourselves, even when we don't feel like we deserve it, remembering that we're human, not robots. Okay, so we've covered motivation and procrastination. Let's move on to goal setting. Our source really gets into the psychology behind it, highlighting this framework called SMART goals.
SMART goals, they're all about clarity and actionability: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Those are your guideposts. It's not just setting any goal. It's about setting goals you can actually achieve, goals that matter to you.
It's like having a recipe for success, right? It breaks down those big, sometimes scary goals into manageable steps. The source gives this great example, turning read more, which is like super vague, into read one chapter of a professional development book each day before bed. See how much clearer that is. Oh, it's night and day. The SMART goal gives you a target, a way to track progress, a feeling of accomplishment with each chapter. It's a concrete plan, not just a wish.
Exactly, and that feeling of accomplishment is key. And the source points out the importance of breaking down those large goals into smaller, measurable milestones.
So important for staying motivated. Celebrating those milestones triggers a sense of accomplishment, releases dopamine, and keeps the momentum going.
Totally. It's like those signs on a hiking trail telling you how far you've come and how much further you have to go. Encouraging, right? So we've got motivation, procrastination, goal setting. What's next on our deep dive agenda?
Next, we're moving from the internal stuff to the external factors that can make or break our efforts. Designing an environment that actually boosts productivity.
Oh, I love this part. Our source makes this awesome comparison. It's like an athlete training in a well-equipped gym versus a cluttered garage.
Yeah.
Your environment has a massive impact on your performance.
It really does. And what's interesting is the link between our physical space and mental state. Clutter can lead to a cluttered mind, while a clean, organized space promotes focus and clarity. It's about visual calm leading to mental calm.
Absolutely. But it doesn't have to be a complete overhaul, right? What are some simple things anyone can do, starting with decluttering?
Decluttering is like hitting the reset button, clearing out what you don't need, reducing distractions. It's like saying to your brain, okay, we're here to work.
I love that. And the source also talks about the importance of personalization.
Yes. Adding your own touch, a plant, a picture, maybe even a scented candle, can make your workspace feel more inviting and inspiring.
It's like turning your workspace into a place where you actually want to be. And let's not forget about lighting.
Ah, natural light. It's a game changer. Boosts mood, regulates sleep cycles, gives you energy. If you can, set up near a window.
Makes sense. It's like bringing the outdoors in. But what about the digital distractions? They're everywhere these days.
Oh, the digital age. It's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Our source recommends tools like Freedom or Stay Focused, things that block those distracting websites.
It's like building a digital fence, right?
Yeah.
Keeping those distractions out. And of course, silencing your phone, putting it out of sight, that helps too.
Absolutely. Small changes, big impact. So we've covered the external environment. Now let's dive into the internal, the disciplined mindset.
Our source calls this the foundation of lasting productivity. It's not just about willpower, it's about habits, practices that support consistent effort. And one of the key elements is this concept of delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification, resisting those immediate rewards for something bigger down the line, saying no to that extra cookie, that tempting Netflix show, because you've got your eyes on the prize.
It's definitely a skill to be learned. But there's good news. Our source has some encouraging stuff about how to develop it, and one thing that surprised me was the link between self-compassion and productivity.
Seems counterintuitive, right? But research shows that being kind to ourselves actually leads to greater accountability and productivity.
Mm-hmm.
We acknowledge mistakes without beating ourselves up. We learn, we bounce back faster.
It's about recognizing that setbacks happen, they're normal. Treating ourselves with kindness, like we'd treat a friend going through the same thing.
Exactly. And this leads us to another cool concept the source mentions, Carol Dweck's growth mindset. Not just a buzzword, it's a powerful way to approach challenges with resilience and a belief in your ability to learn and grow.
I've heard about that. It's believing that you can improve through effort and hard work, right? It's seeing challenges as opportunities, not threats.
Exactly. People with a growth mindset embrace challenges. Mm. They see failures as temporary, not permanent. Mm. It's about shifting your perspective from, I can't do this, to, I can't do this yet.
Love that. Focusing on the possibility, not the limitation. And this mindset is so important for building discipline, for achieving our goals. It's believing in your capacity to grow and overcome obstacles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And our source also stresses the importance of consistency. It's those small actions done consistently that really add up to big results.
It's about building that productivity habit, right? Showing up every day, even if it's just for a bit, making progress.
Exactly. Progress, not perfection. And that brings us to the final section for today. Time management techniques, the tools and strategies to make the most of our time and energy.
Perfect. Our source introduces a few popular ones. The Pomodoro technique, the Eisenhower box, and batching. I'm ready to unpack these.
Each one offers a different approach to managing your time, but they all have a common goal. Helping us focus on what matters and minimize distractions.
Working smarter, not harder. Let's start with the Pomodoro technique. I've heard of it, but I'd like to hear more.
The Pomodoro technique is all about working with time, not against it. You break your work into intervals, usually 25 minutes, with short breaks in between.
I've tried this before, and it's amazing how well it works. It's like tricking my brain into thinking I'm only working for short bursts so it doesn't get overwhelmed.
Exactly. Those breaks give your brain a chance to rest and recharge.
It's like a mini vacation for your mind every 25 minutes. I can definitely get behind that. What about the Eisenhower box? That one sounds a bit more, well, serious.
The Eisenhower box, also known as the urgent important matrix, is all about prioritizing. You categorize tasks based on their urgency and importance.
So figuring out what needs attention right now and what can wait, it's about being strategic with your time and energy.
Exactly. You separate the urgent and important from the important but not urgent, and so on. You align your actions with what truly matters.
Love that framework. It really helps clear the mental clutter, make sure you're focusing on the right things. Now, what about batching? That one sounds interesting.
Batching is all about grouping similar tasks together and tackling them in one go. The idea is to minimize context switching, which can be a real drain on your productivity.
So instead of switching between emails, phone calls, and that big presentation all day long, you dedicate specific chunks of time to each type of task. That makes a lot of sense.
It does. Batching helps you focus and work more efficiently. It's like setting up an assembly line for your tasks.
Wow, we've covered so much in this deep dive already. Understanding motivation, outsmarting procrastination, setting smart goals, designing that perfect workspace, and even building a disciplined mindset. And we even touched on some seriously powerful time management techniques. But don't worry, there's more to come.
You bet. In part two, we're going to go even deeper, explore some of the connections between these concepts. We'll uncover those hidden patterns and reveal some unexpected insights that can really take your productivity to a whole new level.
I can't wait. Until then, keep experimenting with these techniques and see what works for you. Remember, productivity is a journey, not a destination.
Exactly. It's about finding what works for you and making it a part of your life.
We'll be back soon with part two of our deep dive into motivation and productivity. Until then, stay curious, stay motivated, and keep on learning.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Glad to have you with us as we continue exploring all things motivation and productivity.
I'm ready to dive even deeper, and after part one, I'm sure there's a ton more to uncover.
Absolutely. This time we'll explore how motivation, procrastination, and goal setting all connect and work together. We'll uncover the links between them that can really supercharge our productivity.
Awesome, let's get to it. Where should we start unraveling this web?
Let's go back to intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Remember those from last time? We talk about knowing which one drives you. Well, now let's take a step further.
Okay, so what's the next level of understanding motivation?
It's realizing that these two types aren't enemies. They can actually work together really well.
You mean it's not either, but kind of both? Like they can team up to fuel our actions.
Exactly. It's more of a spectrum. Some things we do are driven more by internal passion, others by external rewards or deadlines. It's recognizing what works for you in different situations and using that knowledge strategically.
That makes sense. Like a recipe, you adjust the ingredients based on what you're making.
Perfect analogy. Understanding this dynamic helps you create a more personalized approach to motivation. Like you're the chef of your own motivation, finding the perfect blend for each task.
I love that. But how do we actually apply this in real life? Got an example of using both intrinsic and extrinsic motivation.
Sure. Let's say you're working on a project that's important for your career, but let's be honest, not the most exciting thing ever. Maybe it's a ton of data entry, those kinds of tasks.
Ugh, I've been there. Sometimes it feels like we got to do those less than thrilling tasks.
Right. So how do we make it better? On the intrinsic side, maybe focus on the new skills you're learning or how this task contributes to a bigger goal, that sense of mastery and purpose.
So it's finding the internal spark, even when the task itself doesn't exactly light you up.
Exactly. Now, for the extrinsic side, use that deadline as fuel or set up a reward system, maybe a treat or a night out when you finish. Even tell a friend about your goal for some accountability.
That's smart. A multi-layered motivation strategy using both internal drive and external factors.
Exactly. It's harnessing everything you've got. And speaking of moving forward, this brings us to the link between motivation and, you guess it, procrastination.
Oh, we all know that one well. We talked about procrastination being a symptom of deeper issues, but how is it connected to motivation?
Well, it often comes from a mismatch between your motivation and the task itself.
So not laziness, but more like your desires and what you're doing just aren't aligned.
Right. When you're intrinsically motivated, you're eager and focused. But without it, procrastination creeps in. It's like your brain saying, nope, not interested. Let's find something more fun.
Makes sense. We naturally gravitate toward things we enjoy. If it's not meaningful or interesting, we'll probably put it off.
Our brains love pleasure and hate pain. So if something feels unpleasant or boring, we resist it. It's just human nature.
So how do we beat procrastination when we just have to do those unappealing tasks? Just gotta power through.
Not necessarily. This is where extrinsic motivation comes in handy. Use those external rewards or deadlines to bridge the gap when your internal drive is MIA.
So deadlines, rewards, accountability, they can give us that push when our own motivation isn't enough.
Exactly. Be strategic, use all the tools you've got, make it more appealing to your brain. Sweeten the deal.
I love this new perspective. Procrastination isn't a personal failing. It's a challenge we can overcome with planning and understanding our own motivation.
It's empowering, right?
Yeah.
Knowing you have more control than you think. And this leads us right back to goal setting. We know smart goals are great, but what are some other things that make goal setting really effective?
Now we're talking. What are those less obvious but super important aspects?
One is often overlooked. Alignment.
Alignment, huh? Okay, tell me more.
Your goals need to align with your values, your priorities, your overall vision. They should resonate with what truly matters to you, not just what sounds good or impresses others.
So not just any goal will do. It needs to be something that's truly meaningful and reflects who you are and what you want to achieve.
Exactly. Goals aligned with your values become fuel and inspiration. You'll push through challenges and feel fulfilled. It's like tapping into a deep well of energy.
That makes so much sense. When you care about what you're working towards, it's not just a task, it's a journey that resonates with you on a deeper level.
It is. It's connecting your actions to a bigger purpose.
Mm.
And that leads to another important piece, flexibility.
Flexibility. I thought goals were all about having a plan and sticking to it no matter what.
Plans are great, but life is unpredictable. Things change. Unexpected stuff happens.
So it's not about being rigid, but about being open to adjusting and course correcting along the way, adapting when things change.
Exactly. If you're too rigid, you'll get discouraged easily.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, setbacks and obstacles are normal. You've got to be willing to adjust your approach as needed.
That's so true. It's about embracing the unexpected and seeing challenges as opportunities to learn and grow, not roadblocks.
Exactly. Have a destination in mind, but be open to different paths. Enjoy the journey, not just the end goal.
This is such a refreshing perspective on goal setting. It's not about being perfect. It's about enjoying the process and celebrating the progress you make along the way.
And that brings us to another crucial point, celebration.
Celebration. I like where this is going. Tell me more about celebrating.
Celebrating your wins, big or small, is super important for staying motivated and feeling good. It's acknowledging your hard work and dedication.
Giving yourself a pat on the back for how far you've come, recognizing all those accomplishments.
Exactly. Doesn't have to be fancy. Take a moment to reflect. Write down your wins. Do something you enjoy. It creates a positive feedback loop that keeps you going.
Love that. Savor those moments of success. Don't wait till the very end to celebrate. Every step forward is a win worth celebrating.
Absolutely. Celebration fuels you, boosts your confidence, keeps you going. It's a powerful tool for a positive mindset.
So important. We often forget to appreciate how far we've come when we're so focused on the next goal. We've got to make an effort to celebrate, no matter how small the win might seem.
Exactly. Make it a habit. Even schedule it in if you have to.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to start scheduling in some celebration breaks.
You should. You deserve to celebrate your wins.
Well, this deep dive into motivation, procrastination, and goal setting has been mind-blowing. I feel so inspired to apply these ideas.
I'm so happy to hear that. Remember, try things out, see what works for you, and celebrate every step of the way.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for part 3, where we'll explore the connection between our environment and our productivity. We'll see how our surroundings can help or hurt our efforts.
Until then, keep those goals aligned, celebrate those wins, and enjoy the journey.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back soon with the final part of our deep dive. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into motivation and productivity. We've covered so much ground already, from the inner workings of our minds to those sneaky procrastination habits. But now we're shifting gears to focus on something we often overlook, but that has a huge impact, our environment.
It's amazing how much our surroundings can affect how we work, our energy, even our creativity. It's like our environment is secretly shaping our productivity.
Totally. Our source dives deep into practical tips for creating a workspace that actually helps us get things done. And, you know, I've got to admit, one area I struggle with is clutter. So I'm really interested in what our source has to say about decluttering.
Decluttering, it can seem daunting, but the results are worth it. It's like clearing out the mental cobwebs, creating space for your mind to breathe and focus. Less visual distraction, more mental clarity. Studies have even shown that clutter can make us stressed and actually hurt our thinking abilities.
It makes sense when you think about it. Trying to work in a cluttered space is like trying to think in a noisy room, right? You can't concentrate. So decluttering is key. But what else can we do to create a workspace that boosts productivity?
Well, personalization is huge. Make your workspace reflect you, your personality, your goals. Create a space that feels good to be in, somewhere you actually want to spend time.
It's not just about being functional. It's about creating a space that inspires you, right? What are some examples of personalization that can really make a difference?
It could be simple things.
Mm-hmm.
A plant to bring in nature, a favorite picture that makes you smile, maybe a diffuser with a scent that helps you focus. Surrounding yourself with things that bring you joy, things that remind you of what matters.
It's like creating your own little haven, a place to escape the chaos and tap into your best work. And speaking of tapping into your best, let's talk about lighting, something our source emphasizes as super important.
Natural light, it's like magic. It improves your mood and helps regulate your sleep-wake cycle, which is essential for having energy and thinking clearly throughout the day.
So if we can, we should try to set up near a window, get as much natural light as possible. It's like bringing the outdoors in. But what if you're stuck in a windowless office? Any tips for that?
Absolutely. If you can't get natural light, try full-spectrum light bulbs. They mimic sunlight and can actually help regulate your sleep cycle and improve your mood, even if it's gloomy outside.
That's a great tip. So we've got decluttering, personalization, lighting.
Yeah.
Now, for the big one, digital distractions. They're everywhere these days. How do we create a digital environment that helps us, not hinders us?
Well, digital minimalism is key here. Be intentional about how you use technology. Set boundaries to protect your time and energy. Our source recommends tools like Freedom or Stay Focused to block those tempting websites and apps.
It's like having a digital bouncer, right?
Yeah.
Keeping the distractions out and letting you focus. I've used those tools, and they're lifesavers.
They really are. It's about taking control of your digital world, not letting it control you. And of course, one of the simplest things, turn off those phone notifications and put your phone away while you work.
Out of sight, out of mind, right? Simple, but so effective. Okay, so we've tackled clutter, personalized our space, got the lighting right, and tamed those digital distractions. Anything else we need to consider for a truly productive workspace?
We can't forget about ergonomics. Setting up a workspace that's good for your body is crucial, especially in the long run.
It's easy to forget about our physical well-being when we're so focused on getting things done. But we need our bodies to be on board, right?
Absolutely. You want to support good posture, minimize strain, and make sure you can move around throughout the day. Get a comfortable chair, adjust your desk to the right height, take breaks to stretch. All of that can make a huge difference in your energy and focus.
Treat your body like an athlete. Give it the support it needs to perform at its best. Makes sense.
Exactly. And remember, productivity isn't about pushing ourselves to the limit. It's about finding a sustainable way to work that supports our well-being, mind, and body.
This deep dive has been a game changer. It's not just about finding quick fixes. It's about looking at the big picture, understanding what motivates us, setting the right goals, and even creating a supportive environment.
It really is about the whole picture. Experiment, see what works for you, be patient with yourself, and remember to celebrate your wins.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into motivation and productivity. I hope you've all learned as much as I have.
We hope you found some valuable tips and are feeling inspired to try some of them out in your own lives.
Remember, it's a journey, and we're all in this together. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay curious, stay motivated, and keep on learning.